I'll turn now in your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, we'll be reading verses 1 through 52, the chapter 13. And remember, as we read the Word of God, that it is God's Word. It is not the words of men. And so give your attention to it as it deserves and as He deserves. Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John as their helper. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a magician, a Jewish false prophet whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magicians, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him and said, "You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time." And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had happened, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord. Now Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, but John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But going from Perga, they arrived at Pisidian Antioch, and on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the synagogue officials sent to them, saying, "Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it." Paul stood up, and motioning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt, and with an uplifted arm, he led them out from it. For a period of about 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. When he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land as an inheritance, all of which took about 450 years. After these things, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king. And God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. After he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will.' From the descendants of this man, according to promise, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. After John had proclaimed before his coming a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and while John was completing his course, he kept saying, 'What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. But behold, one is coming after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie.' Brethren, sons of Abraham's family, and those among you who fear God, to us the message of this salvation has been sent. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, recognizing neither him nor the utterances of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, fulfill these by condemning him. And though they found no ground for putting him to death, they asked Pilate that he be executed. When they had carried out all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, the very ones who are now his witnesses to the people. And we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers. That God has fulfilled this promise to our children, and that he raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second psalm, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As for the fact that he raised them up from the dead, no longer to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, "I will give you the Holy One and sure blessings of David." Therefore, he also says in another psalm, "He will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay." For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. But he whom God raised did not undergo decay. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And through him everyone who believes is freed from all things, from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Therefore, take heed so that the things spoken of in the prophets may not come upon you. Behold, you scoffers, and marvel and perish. For I am accomplishing a work in your days, a work which you will never believe, though someone should describe it to you. As Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth.' When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." And that is God's word. So by divine direction from the Holy Spirit, Barnabas and Saul are called to a particular ministry, to a great work of spreading the gospel among the nations, to go out from Jerusalem to Samaria and even to the ends of the world. And that means to the Gentiles. In verses 4 to 13, we see they're preaching the gospel in Cyprus, and the opposition there met with Elymas, the magician, the false prophet, who's condemned, he's rebuked, and made blind by the Lord. And following this through verse 41, Saul, then, that we know is Paul, Barnabas and others go to Pisidian Antioch. They went into the synagogues to the Jews first, and Paul preaches a sermon. That shows the kind of things that were often preached to the Jews at that time, and calling them to believe in Jesus Christ unto salvation. He preaches to them going through the history of the Old Testament, from the time that they were made a nation and were in Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land, when they desired a king sinfully and they made Saul king. But God raised up David, a man after his own heart, and from his descendants has come to Israel, to the Jews, the Savior Jesus. And Paul speaks about the life of Jesus and his death on the cross and how he was resurrected from the dead. And everyone who believes, the forgiveness of sins being preached to them, everyone who believes, and this is true for you too, beloved, everyone who believes is freed from all things. That is sin and guilt, from which you would not have been freed through the law of Moses, and which the Pharisees and the Jews were not freed through the law. And so take heed not to scoff at what the prophet spoke and what has been revealed to you, beloved, of the good news of Jesus Christ the Savior. Because we see in verses 42 through 49, not only in a good way, the people desire the word. Nearly the whole city assembled the next Sabbath to hear the word of the Lord. The word of the living God. But seeing even the Gentiles come, and the great many that came, the Jews were filled with jealousy and began rebuking Paul. And even they were tempted through this to blaspheming, and they did blaspheme God because they denied the word of God. But Paul and Barnabas stood firm, and they spoke out boldly to the Jews, bringing the condemnation upon them. That the word that they were speaking, that is the word of Jesus, brought condemnation. That since they, the Jews, have repudiated the gospel and the word of God and therefore condemned themselves, the word now will go to the Gentiles. The Lord had commanded, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. And it has come all the way from that point in Acts 13 to you today, beloved. From the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth, excuse me. To you Gentiles, because of the Jews' rebellion, mercy and grace has been shown to you from God. And so then the question that comes to you, will you too, like the Jews, repudiate the word and the gospel and cast it off and therefore be condemned? Or will you respond with much rejoicing and giving glory to God like the Gentiles who believed the word? And heard that it was coming to them, the gospel and faith and salvation. And then we see how the chapter ends with persecution again. The people no longer wanted the gospel, that is the Jews. And so they are judged as Paul and Barnabas shake off the dust of their feet. And they go spread the gospel somewhere else. They go to Iconium. It says the apostles were continually filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. What did not end their joy? Persecution did not end their joy. It did not cause the Spirit to be taken away from them. Persecution led to joy because the gospel was going forward to many people and many were believing unto salvation. And so will you come unto Jesus? And will you continue in your joy despite persecution when it comes? And that's what we're called to here. When persecution comes, to praise God, to give joy and have joy in the Lord, that you yourselves are even worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we do praise you that here we see again that the word and the gospel goes to the Gentiles. We thank you for what a great mercy and grace that is to us, your people, to a people who are Gentiles, who are not physically descended from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, at least not that we know. Father, we do praise you, though. We thank you that you have granted us the word and that we can hear it every Lord's Day. We can take our Bibles home. We can read it. We can know it in our hearts and our minds and remind ourselves of it daily. Just as we have been counseled many times to proclaim the gospel to ourselves daily, to proclaim the gospel to our children and our families daily, that we not forget it. Of your dying on the cross as a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and being raised to secure our justification and grant us eternal life. Father, we thank you for those of us who have not turned our backs upon you because of your Son. That you, by your Spirit, have turned our hearts to you and not from you. And that when we suffer and when we're persecuted verbally, most likely, in our day today, and maybe one day physically. But as we have been persecuted and suffered before, you have not left us. You've not forsaken us. You are still with us. You are present with your people. And we thank you that you cause that joy to well up within your people. And we ask that you would use that spirit of yours to grow that joy within us. That it would pour forth into our bodies, and our minds, and our words, even in the midst of suffering and persecution. Because we know that the gospel is continually going forth, that people are hearing, that some, those who you change their hearts, some are believing unto salvation. And we ask that you would do so that to all here this morning who have not come on the faith to salvation in your Son. Lord, we thank you that you're the God who gives us hope. And here you give it again. That as the gospel went to the nations, you remain faithful to your promises of old, which we'll look at in a few moments in the book of Haggai. Lord, continue remaining faithful. And Lord, call even, not just of the Gentiles, but even of the Jews today, to your Son. And grant salvation in your grace and favor to them. And that you would not cast them off. And so we plead for your mercy. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.